So when I was around 10 years old, my brother and I went to an after-school youth program at St. John's Anglican Church. It is the church at the bottom of the hill just east of Humberside Collegiate, and was on the way home for my brother and myself. My brother's friend went to that church, and he must have invited us to attend. And so we joined him and some other kids from the school for a while on Wednesday afternoons. I remember getting snacks and the friendly woman who ran the program, but these are vague memories. Interestingly, the one thing that I remember very clearly was memorizing John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Before I even knew there were different translations of the Bible, there we were memorizing the King James translation of John 3:16. But the other connection that I had not made was that this verse comes from the story about Nicodemus. Nicodemus visiting Jesus one night. In preparing for today's message, I read that some people interpreted this nighttime visit as Nicodemus kind of being embarrassed, maybe even a little bit ashamed, I don't know. He didn't want the public to know he was visiting a man who had caused trouble in the temple. In the event leading up to this nighttime visit, the gospel writer describes a scene in which Jesus makes a whip out of cords in order to drive out the money changers who are selling cattle, sheep, and doves in the temple. Jesus overturns tables and commands the greedy money changers to take things away and to stop making his father's house into a marketplace. So although Jesus may not have been good for Nicodemus' image or reputation, there was still something about Jesus that drew Nicodemus to him. This man who had turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana, and was described as the one who would baptize not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. He had John the Baptist's full endorsement and a small group of followers already. A lot has happened between the opening to chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To this quiet, on the down low visit. And in all that has happened, Nicodemus seems to have sensed that there was something different, something special about this man who had mysterious power and incredible courage, conviction, or maybe a death wish. Personally, what I find very interesting about Nicodemus is that although he may have minimized any gossip about him visiting Jesus, he still took a risk. He took a risk and went to visit the one who performed signs that were marked with the presence of God. Despite all his study of the Torah, Jewish religious law, here's a learned man, a Pharisee, who senses something important, something that rings of truth, and he takes action. And finally, Nicodemus was humble enough to go to Jesus in order to learn more about him, because Nicodemus hungers for God. So there is Nicodemus, having carefully walked the dusty path with no street lights to light his way or expose his profile. And he tells Jesus, "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God." Jesus neither confirms nor denies Nicodemus' claim. And neither does Jesus respond to Nicodemus' comment that the signs that Jesus has performed are marked with God's presence. Instead, Jesus replies, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." No one can see the kingdom of God. The verb to see. There are different kinds of seeing. We can see color and shapes, faces and expressions, soccer matches and movies. We can take in the world visually. But we can also see with an understanding. There is the English expression, "I see what you mean." The act of seeing can express comprehension, a knowing, an understanding. The Greek verb to see in this verse is an interesting one because the particular tense used here gives a certain meaning to the verb to see. The seeing in verse 3 is not simply one of observation. I see you're wearing red or blue. It's not just the act of seeing, as many of us probably saw this past Friday, the injured from the distressing explosion from the improvised explosive device in Mississauga. The seeing in verse 3 is a seeing that becomes knowing. It is more than the observation of seeing an injured patron of the Bombay Bayo restaurant lying on a stretcher. It is an observation that comes with the terrible knowledge that something has forever changed in our GTA. We cannot hide our brokenness. Individuals are expressing their anger or hurt through violence. And the images from last Friday night, this knowledge of understanding accompanies it. It is a heartbreaking reality that people are hurting others in order to make a statement. Seeing that is also knowing. Seeing that is also understanding. This leads us back to our story and the verb to see, which also means a knowing. And when seeing becomes knowing, a door is open to grasp spiritual truth. From the physical world that surrounds us. Let me repeat that. When seeing becomes knowing, a door is open to grasp spiritual truth from the physical world around us. So Jesus is telling Nicodemus, if you want to know God's kingdom, if you want to know how God is moving and working to bring healing and peace to this world, if you want to see God's saving reign, Nicodemus, you have to be born from above. You have to be born again. This Greek word has those two meanings, above and again. But not only are we to be born from above or again, we are to be born of the Spirit. Born of the very wind that also swept the face of the waters in the beginning when God first separated the earth from the heavens. To be born of the Spirit means to be shaped by God in our lives. It's a continual process, not always felt or easily observed by we who undergo that process of shaping. And so being born of the Spirit can be a hard concept for those of us who like the concrete, for those of us who like to see and observe in order to understand. For example, if I drop this sheet of paper, I know that it's heavier than air. And because gravity works in this world a particular way, it will drop to the ground. But the truth that God shapes us is much harder to grasp. How and through whom? Why and what? If you like control, and I confess, I really do like having control. Being born of the Spirit can feel like a very vulnerable place to be. But when we place our trust, when we actively choose to place our trust in God, when we believe in the one who gave us an only child, the Father who gave us his Son, when we hear the promise Nicodemus heard, the promise that we will not perish but have eternal life, God's kingdom is here, working through the Holy Spirit. But you see, eternal life is often misunderstood as something that happens when someone dies. Eternal life, supposedly, for many, is a gift given to those who have trusted and followed the way, and when they leave this world, they enter into it. But eternal life doesn't happen just when we die. Eternal life begins in this world, now, here with you and with me. Eternal life is also understood as the age to come, and the age to come can begin now with you and with me. And it begins when we choose to trust in the God who gives us the way, the truth, and the life. Eternal life, the age to come, beginning now. In the aftermath of the Yonge Street tragedy and in the wake of the Mississauga bombing, experiencing eternal life as we participate in bringing healing and peace, God-saving rain. How incredible, but how powerful is this truth for us as a community of believers? Now, I wish we only had to do things once, I confess. But that's not how God's kingdom works. We all have been given free will. We have a choice. We have a choice of what and whom we will trust. We can decide what and whom we will believe in. We can choose whether or not we will follow the way, the truth, and the life, the one who longs to give us abundant life. Without a doubt, it's not easy to trust in a God that we feel we cannot see tangibly and who moves mysteriously in our lives and in the world. But we can know this God. We can participate in the healing and peace of this God through the power and mystery of the Holy Spirit. And we can begin living in eternal life now. So what will you choose? What will you believe in? What will you decide? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Amen.